Amen, amen. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into that place this morning. And we can invite our big kids, our grade 4, 5, 6, can head back to their program now. Pastor Rebecca has some awesome things in store for you guys there. Very, very special time there as well. Oh, man, look at all of them go. Holy smokes. We had to build a new room, set up a new room for our big kids because Pastor Rebecca was like, we could, if everybody shows up, we could have like 40. So if you want to help a kids, man, there's lots of room. There's going to need, discipleship is an important part of what we do here, and God is growing that, so it's going to be really, really fun. But before we go any further, I forgot one thing. Ethan Stevenson and Ariel Collins got engaged a couple of weeks ago. Woo! So congratulations to them. We are very, very excited for them as well. Again, lots of life happening in our church, all kinds of different things going on. But as we turn to God's Word this morning, open your Bibles with me, Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to read this passage. It'll be on the screen for you as well. But we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3 and see where God's going to lead us and the things that He has in store for us this year as we kick things off again here. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read the first 6 verses of this. It says this: My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. God does not invite us to lead or to control. God does not ask us to make the plan or be the solution. God never called us to figure things out for ourselves. He has only ever asked us to trust Him, to follow Him, to obey Him and learn from Him. And if we do, He will lead us into true life. He will make you like Him. Do we want to be like Him? God is good, and He's going to show us the way. Amen? Amen. Well, again, our kickoff season is here, and we are really, really excited. We can already, again, smell the food out there. It's coming. Hold on. Our stomachs are grumbling. It's going to be fine. We're going to make it. But we're going to enjoy an amazing day today of food and fellowship together. I hope that you're able to stay and, again, meet someone new, make a new connection, share your story with someone. We want to learn each other's stories here today and experience God together in worship and fellowship and relationship and prayer and the Word. It's a wonderful day. Kickoff Sunday is always such a huge highlight in our year, and I'm glad you're able to be here with us today as we celebrate the beginning of this new ministry year. All of our different amazing ministries are launching and getting kicked off again after a little bit of a break through the summer for some of them. All the wonderful opportunities for growth and discipleship together, serving and building together. Again, our baptism service in a few weeks, our missions trip next summer, just a chance to worship and study and learn and grow together every week in all these different ways. And all the amazing things that God has in store for us here in our neighborhoods, in our city, around the world, wherever we are, God is working, God is moving, His Spirit is alive, and He's calling us to follow as He brings His kingdom to life all around us in the hearts of people. That sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty exciting. Do you see it? Do you see that happening? Do you see those tiny steps of growth in your own life? As we look back on our journey and all the things we've learned along the way, the mistakes we've made, the things that God's forgiven us for, led us forward in. Have you seen it in the life of someone else that you're walking with? Prayers answered. Places in our lives and in our world where the very peace of God has come to rest. Relationships where forgiveness is found. We see God working every day even while there is still hurt and selfishness and brokenness all around us. To our world is a very broken place, but still we see the kingdom. We see the light breaking through. We see healing happening because of what God is doing and because of what we get to do with Him, what He wants to do in you and through you. And that's the joy. That's the journey. That's what we get to experience and understand as we walk in relationship with our Creator, as we walk in discipleship. So that's what we're going to be looking at this year. But what does that mean? That all sounds really good. That all sounds really exciting. But what does that word, what is discipleship? What does that look like? How does a disciple think? What does a disciple care about? What does God want a disciple to look like? What is He trying to work within us, shape us toward? What does it mean to walk in discipleship? Over the last few years, we've been on a journey as a church. It started 2 years ago when we were challenged by that word from God, sacred. What does it mean to be and to bring the sacred presence of God into the world? We looked at what His presence looks like, what He is trying to help us see, what it means to be used by the Spirit in that way. We want to see the kingdom made real, to be inspired by the power and presence of God, and to hunger to share that with others. And so we explored that presence, that experience of what it's like to walk with God, which then led us this last year to a year where we focused on the Word, rooting that journey, what it is and what it does and what it means. We wanted to root that experience of understanding the sacred presence of God in the Word and in truth and in Scripture, to understand what it is that God has given us in these pages and how He means for us to use it, how He wants to use it in us. Rooting and understand our understanding of truth upon its foundation, submitting ourselves to its teaching, that we can know our Father, His heart and His mission and His work in the world. So we started looking at sacred presence and the nature of what God is trying to do, and then rooting that in His Word. And now we want to take that next step on this journey. And we want to understand what it means for that teaching, for that Spirit, for that Word to take root in our lives, to be made real, to know and grow and walk in what it means to be a disciple, to know the mind of a disciple, to hear and to see and to know and to understand God's heart for discipleship, to be shaped and molded by His Word and by His Spirit and by His people together, shaped and transformed into the image of Jesus. First, just for our own sake, that it is good to know God and to live according to His Word. It is good for us to do that. But then ultimately, for the sake of the people around us that need to know Jesus too. As we as disciples live and speak the truth of the gospel into the world around us, into the lives of the people around us. Because that's the beautiful part of discipleship, of growing in our relationship with God, of seeing Him work in our lives, is that it's better for us. My life is better because I walk with Jesus. In ways that I can hardly begin to understand or imagine or communicate. And it's better for the people around me. It is better for them if I walk with Jesus and He shines through me. God doesn't just call us to make our lives better. He doesn't just call us to be, or He doesn't just call us to go and then just be servants to make the world a better place. He works in our hearts and transforms us and changes our desires and changes our appetites and changes our hearts. And he fills us with the fruit of the Spirit and the joy of the gospel. And when he does that, he changes our lives. Not necessarily in material success or health or wealth or such finite things. That's God's will and grace alone to give or take as he wills to accomplish his purposes. But he gives us new and renewed relationship. New and deeper experience of love and joy with others. He gives us power to speak life into the world and into people's lives and hearts. As he changes our hearts, he changes our lives. And as he changes our lives, he changes the world around us. Because the joy we know in the presence of Jesus within us, the power of the Holy Spirit alive with us, flows out of us. Brings that joy and that presence to other people. Discipleship is a journey of obedience and discipline, of worship and prayer, of study and accountability, and is freedom and joy. The presence of Jesus grows within us as we surrender and humble ourselves and allow him to lead us more and more fully and freely. And the power of the kingdom of heaven comes to life in our hearts, filling us to overflowing with a joy and a love that is beyond understanding. It's an amazing journey, and I'm so excited to step into that this year and the ways that we're going to explore that this year. We're going to look at different ways that God has revealed discipleship to us all through his word and through his story of walking with his people. And so this fall, we're going to start by looking at the journey of the Israelites. What did discipleship look like to them? How did God call his chosen people to live? What did he want their lives to look like? What did he want them to care about? What did he teach them about walking with him? And then at Advent and into the new year, we're going to look at the life of Jesus. And he was not a disciple necessarily as we are disciples, but his life is the template. His life is the example. He is the revelation of how we are meant to live. In his humanity, he revealed what it is to be human in relationship with God. The things he cared about, the things he did, the things he said. How is Jesus inviting us into life with him? How are we made to look like him? And that's going to lead us to Easter. And then after Easter, we're going to step into the life of the church and the discipleship in the Spirit. What does it mean to be a disciple with the presence of the Spirit alive within us? How did Paul and Peter and other apostles see discipleship? What did they want the early church to see? How was God building his church? And how are we meant to be disciples together? It's going to be a really fun journey, a challenging journey. And I hope you're hungry to step into this deep water. There's going to be lots of different ways to dig into this journey together. Again, we have our kids and youth and young adults, men's, women's ministries, our seniors and care, all different ways to explore discipleship with others, to find accountability and encouragement, all different ways to seek to grow together. We have life change groups of two or three people. Gather one or two people to join you and dig into discipleship that way. Start a small group and gather some families with you and explore discipleship together. Let's study these things together. Let's see what God does as we are each transformed a little more into the image of Jesus, and then share that with each other to allow the world around us to experience who Jesus is. Are we ready for that? God is moving and he's inviting you to step more deeply into these things. It's going to be so cool. But before we get all the way to the end of this journey, we're going to start at the beginning of this journey this morning. Because it's a good place to start, I think. We're going to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read a portion of that here too. This fall, again, we're going to look at the story of the Israelites and the journey that God took them on as he took his chosen people and made them into a people of his promises and purpose, a covenant relationship. What did discipleship look like for the chosen people of God? What were the kinds of things that God taught them? What did he show them? How did he want them to live? What did he want them to care about? What did he want them to show the world about life, about his nature, about his plan and what he had created, about what he was doing and what he was going to do? Discipleship is a journey, and our journey as believers is not going to look exactly the same as what the Israelites did, because it was a different part of God's story. The Israelites were the people of the promise, the people that God had chosen to bring the Messiah into the world, the people who would receive God's law and be his example, and through whom he would bring salvation to the whole world. They had a job. They had a purpose. And our purpose isn't exactly the same, because the Messiah has come. Jesus was born. And he lived here, and he died here, and he rose again and is alive today. Hallelujah and amen. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to bring life to his church, and that Spirit lives within us and empowers us in new and incredible ways to bring that hope and that message and that presence and power of God into the world in new ways. So God's story grows, and discipleship grows as he walks with us. But at the beginning, these were his chosen people that he chose at the start to be his witnesses and his example, to be his tool to bring his presence and to bring his word and to bring salvation into the world. And in their journey, when what he taught them and revealed to them, we can learn much about how he means for us to live too. What it means for us to also be his followers, to be his people. We as followers of Jesus today, as Gentiles born outside of his chosen people, we are now grafted in. And we are a part of his story and his people, as Paul tells us. And so their journey is our journey. And the things that God taught them are important for us to learn too. So we want to study their journey and the kinds of people that they were and the kind of people that God wanted them to be. And in Genesis chapter 12, at the beginning of their calling and journey, at the calling of Abram, we hear the words that are the perfect place for us to start this journey this year, as God reveals to his people that they are meant to be the people of covenant promise, and that a power and a truth that speaks to us is important for us to understand right at the beginning of this journey before we get any further along. So turn with me again to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read this calling of Abraham and the things that God reveals to us about what it means to be his people in these verses, the things he spoke right at the beginning that he wanted them to understand. It says this: "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him." Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. "He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Amen. This passage is the perfect place for us to start to explore what it means to be a disciple. And what God means when He invites us into discipleship. What it means to have the mind of a disciple. And what it is that God is seeking to do in us. Because when we talk about discipleship and trying to be a better disciple, even near here this morning, if God is prompting something into your heart that we want to step into this, we want to grow in this. When we talk about what it means to do that, we so easily turn first to what we must do. The place we start when we feel challenged with these things, when we feel encouraged that, yes, I do want to step more deeply. I want to know what discipleship means more fully. We always, or so often, I speak for myself, I always, maybe you not always, maybe you're better than me, but so often we jump to what we must do. If I'm going to be a disciple, I need to work harder. I need to be more holy. If I'm going to be a better disciple, I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. If I'm going to be a better disciple, if I'm going to grow, I need to serve more. I need to be better. And all of those things are good. All of those things are even important. All of those things matter because it is about discipline. It is about making good choices. It is about learning and growing and working and doing some of these things. And as we explore discipleship there, we are even going to look at some of those things directly this year. But first, before we get to any of that, as we look at the journey and the story of Abram, as we look at the call of the Israelites and the story of the Israelites, as we look at the journey even of Jesus, and we look at the growth of the apostles of the church, we have to see, we have to understand, we have to embrace that discipleship is not about what we do for God. Discipleship is what God does in us. It is His work. It is His Spirit. It is His Word. It is His church, His presence, His nature, His voice, His hands shaping and molding and transforming us. And He will use all of those things that I listed. Reading His Word, praying more, worshiping, journeying with the body of believers. A disciple lives a life of discipline. But from the very beginning when He spoke to Abram all those thousands of years ago and all the way through today, we cannot lose sight of who is doing the work. Who is doing the transforming? Who is doing the changing? Who is making the promise of new life come to reality? From the beginning to the end, it is God's work in us. It is His infinite love and mercy and grace and His desire for relationship and with His beautiful creation with us that He comes to us. It's not about trying harder. It's about allowing God's work in our lives. And so He says to Abram here, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will give you this land. I will make you a blessing. He didn't ask Abram to do anything but follow. It was God who would do this thing. It was God who called him, and it was God who would make this promise real, who would fulfill this covenant. And so before we get into anything else, that's what we need to hear as we begin today, as we step into this journey for the whole year. It's the words of our theme passage here, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, follow Him, and He will direct your path. Trust. And obey and see what God will do. Discipleship means that we are called to be people in this covenant promise. And in that covenant promise, God has revealed what He has said He will do. It's not about our strength and ability to fulfill it. The covenant promise of God is about what He has said, about His promise and His work and His Spirit alive in us, not about what we can do for Him. He will do it through us. In later passages, the idea of covenant is a powerful theme all through Scripture. And in later passages, He expands this covenant promise to His people, to Isaac and to Jacob, to Moses and Joshua, to David and others. God renews His promises, His covenant with His people. He gives them the law that they can know how to live, how to walk in relationship with Him. He gives them manna and water in the desert and provides for them. He calls them to be a witness and an example of who He is and how He means us to live. They have a mission and we have a mission. They have a purpose and we have a purpose. But that purpose is not earning God's favor or working hard to change ourselves. Our purpose is to trust and obey, to follow and to listen, to believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. He will make your path straight. He will prepare the way. He will do the work. He will make us new. In His Son, by His Spirit and His Word. God's call to Abraham is not for him to do these mighty things. It is for him to obey, to walk in faith and obedience and see what God will do. This year we want to learn more about what it means to be a disciple. And we don't want to step into it backwards and get run over by the weight of our own struggle to change before we even get started. But like Abraham, we want to listen, to hear God's voice, believe His promise that He will do what He has said He will do because our God can do it. The impossible thing of even changing my own broken heart, God can do it. Let alone what He can do in the world around you, in the lives of the people around you. Are you ready to step into discipleship in a new and deeper way? Are you hungry for God to do a deeper work in your life? Are you hungry for the ways of God, for the leading of His Spirit? Do you desire to be drawn closer and made more into the image of Jesus, that you can shine that light of love and hope, that light of the truth of the gospel onto the people around you? God has an amazing journey ahead of us this year. And I hope that you will humble yourself with me and be open to the work that God desires to do in your heart as He seeks to teach us His ways and lead us in discipleship. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Father God, You are good. We see these unbelievable promises that You have given us in Your Word. We see Your power displayed all through Your Word, and we've seen it in our own lives and in our world around You. We've seen You heal people. We've seen You change hearts that could never be changed. We've seen You bring salvation and new life where dead things lived. God, we know Your power. We know Your presence. We know Your love. And still somehow so often I think it's not enough. And I just need to try harder. Father, we want to be disciples. We want to be used by You to bring the light and the power and the love and the hope and the peace of Your kingdom to life in the world around us. And it's not about what we do. It's about what You do through us. So Father, humble us. Open us. Let us not run out ahead of You. Let us walk in step following You, that Your Spirit can speak and move in our lives, changing us and then changing others. God, we thank you and we praise you that you invite us into this journey with you, that we can share in relationship with you, that we can know that we are a part of your story. We are in awe of who you are and what you are doing. As we step into a time of food and fellowship together, God, we just thank you. We ask your spirit upon that time that as we are drawn together as your body, we will experience your presence, that we can share it with others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.